Yeehaw, Donkshireman. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the voice of the people. It is truly the people's Republic Broadcasting Network. So go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed renminbi and yuan to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. As if you didn't know, today is our day for having Cato on. Cato, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be back, Dr. Slattery. Yeah, it's the month of December, so that is Christmas time, of course. So if the audience wouldn't mind being a little bit charitable to the studio, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And, you know, they should do it because of Christmas. If for whatever reason they don't do it for Christmas, they can do it for Chinese New Year.
Exactly.
Exactly. And actually, that is a tradition, right? Giving the kiddies a bit of money, right?
Yeah, you give them little red envelopes. Hongbao is what it's called. Hongbao.
Yeah,
red envelope.
So when I was a kid, you know, I lived in the neighborhood, and every now and then somebody would move away or somebody would move in. And whenever somebody moved in, you'd get all excited. Oh, there's, you know, somebody's moved in. They're kids. Do they have kids? You know, because you're thinking, oh, good, you know, new friend. So we had this one family move in. I guess I was in sixth grade or something. And so, you know, I remember going over to knock on the door, right? And I knock on the door, and they had kind of a glass window in their front door, so you could actually see into the house from the front door. And so I'm seeing this guy. He's walking down the stair. They had a central staircase. He's walking down the staircase. He's in a T-shirt. This guy comes down in a T-shirt. And then all of a sudden, I see his head. It's like, he's Chinese. This guy, Chinese guy. He opens the door, and he says, you know, hello, what can I do for you? And he says it in a Boston accent, right? He sounded like John F. Kennedy. And I didn't know what to make of it. And they were good guys. They were good. And Mr. Yi, and he would take us on Saturdays, and we would play softball in the park. He would organize softball games, which was the closest I ever came to playing baseball. It's the most. I loved baseball, but I never actually played a real game. The closest I ever came were those games of softball organized by Mr. Yi, who was a Red Sox fan, unfortunately. He didn't live long enough to see them ever win the World Series. So, but yeah.
So a Chinese, yeah. Bostonian.
The Chinatown apparently is pretty close to Fenway Park.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Although everything there is relatively pretty close to each other.
I guess think. So. Not that big of a city.
I know it's a very cramped city, I know, and the roads are very narrow, and it's... you know, because it's an older city. It's one of the first cities of, you know, the 13 colonies of America.
Right.
So, whereas, you know, cities, you know, toward the going out west and going south, you know, they're much newer, comparatively speaking. So, and there's more land, so that's why it's more spread out.
Yeah. Land use. Very interesting. Anyway, so I guess last time we talked a fair amount about Jeffrey Sachs the Chinese during the month of November. They were the chair of the UN Security Council, inviting Professor Sachs, knowing exactly what he would say, but inviting him to testify in front of the UN Security Council, where he just had a scathing analysis of American foreign policy in Ukraine, in Israel, in Gaza, in Syria, and in Africa, including Libya. It was scathing. This month, the chair of the – it's a rotating chair, and this month the chair is Ecuador. And Ecuador, actually, I didn't know much about their president other than he's very young. He's about 35. But apparently he's super pro-Israel, which is almost unique in Latin America, because the Latin American countries have gone hard. And I think as some of them have recalled their ambassadors. I think Colombia has cut off relations. But Ecuador is, which used to have a pretty hardcore anti-imperialist president, right? And they kept they gave asylum in their British embassy in London to Julian Assange for many years, but that ended. Did it end with the election of this young kid as president? But at any rate, they're the chair, and there was a vote in the United Nations General Assembly today. I don't know if you heard about it. It was a vote calling for a ceasefire, a humanitarian ceasefire. And
yeah, another ceasefire.
Well, so the last was the humanitarian pause, but this would be a real ceasefire, right?
Pause. That wasn't like a full on. Yeah, because it's like I was just wondering, like immediately after, you know, the pause, the Israelis went right back to, you know, killing innocent civilians.
So it was basically the last one was a pause. We'll stop bombing nonstop. We'll stop the incessant bombing. We'll just do little bits here and there for a number of days while we have prisoner exchanges and allow some trucks to go in. But it was conditional on this steady stream of, you know, every day Hamas was releasing like five or ten Israelis, something like that. And, you know, they were in perfectly good shape. One girl, a 20-year-old girl and her dog. And, you know, so the for 2 months, this dog was living with them. The dog, you know, would the Israelis, what would they do with somebody's, what would our own FBI do with somebody's dogs when they apprehend somebody? Do they let them take the dog? I don't think so.
No, they shoot them dead. There wouldn't be a dog left. If they see a dog, they just shoot it dead.
I would rather Hamas knock on my door than the FBI.
Yeah, well, what's screwed up too is that the court system in America ruled that that was perfectly legally justified.
Yeah,
to shoot a dog.
Yeah, and Mr. T and Mini-Me, they are right with me. They are all they support Hamas. I would much rather have Hamas at my doorstep than the FBI, okay, and my dogs in particular. So anyway, but you had this vote on the ceasefire, something more permanent, and the vote was 13-1 with one abstention. So the one abstention, I'll let you guess. Who was the one abstention, and then who was the one country voting against a ceasefire?
Let me guess. The United States was the one abstention, and the one voting against it was Israel.
No, Israel isn't in the Security Council.
Oh, sorry. Never mind. Yeah, I didn't know what I was talking about there. Okay. In that case, yeah, the one voting against it was the United States.
Okay.
The one abstention, let's see, Security Council, so that would be, would it be Britain?
Yes.
Yeah. No, so see, that's the thing. I think, yeah, the British government, or I should say the British nation as a whole, is pretty much a hostage of the United States. And I think the British, you know, and their government sucks completely, 100%. But I don't think they're nowhere near as pro-Zionist as the United States is.
Yeah, and by the way, sucks, that is a term that we use in political science. That's all true. And when you dissect this, so who are the 13 countries? I'm not going to go through the whole list of 13 because I don't have it memorized. But who are some of the 13 countries that are now voting against the United States on an extremely important resolution? This was a resolution that was brought by the Secretary General Guterres, who's one Portuguese. He's a Portuguese guy, And he brought it under Article 99, which allows him to bring these things in the event of a world crisis or a humanitarian crisis. I think it's the first time it's been invoked for over three decades. And so, so of course, you had Russia and China voting against the United States. You had France, permanent member, voting against the United States. Brazil, the United Arab Emirates is on the, they're on the council now. Japan is. So, I mean, you're having Japan, which is an American satellite.
Japan actually voted against it.
Yes.
Wow, that's surprising.
I said they voted against the United States.
Yeah.
They were part of the 13 that voted for the resolution. And
yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. They voted for the resolution against the U.S. So you got the five permanent ones. You got the U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China. And then you got, you said there were 13.
Yeah, so, there's 10, and then there's 10 rotating members. Yeah, who serve at five, they serve 2-year terms, and they're elected by their regions.
Oh, okay. So the 10, so we got, let's see, so Japan is one of the 10, I guess.
Yeah, Japan tries to get in like every 2 or 3 rotations. You're not allowed to serve 2 consecutive terms.
Mm-hmm. What about Germany? Was Germany on?
Germany is not currently, I don't think they're currently in, no. The council is weighted heavily towards Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Which has something to do with just what the world looked like when the United Nations was set up.
Mm-hmm. That's no surprise. Of course the United States would vote against the resolution because it's obvious because the United States and Israel are, as you put it, joined at the hip.
Yeah. And so they vote by region. Oh, by the way, you know what region Israel is part of, according to the United Nations?
Europe?
Oceania. Australia.
What?
Because nobody else wants it. Nobody else wants it. The Asia doesn't want Israel. Nobody else wants it. Africa doesn't want Israel. So it's in the Oceania region.
Okay, so let's see. Oceania, you got what? Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea, New Caledonia, Fiji and Tonga. You know, it's
Israel. And then Israel.
Yeah, I think it's the region's officially called Oceania and Other.
Oh, so Israel is Other. Has Israel ever been on the Security Council?
I don't think they've ever been on the Security Council. No, I'm pretty sure they haven't.
Yeah, because they'll get chewed out if they are. Well, I mean, they're already getting chewed out, but they'll get chewed out even more if they are.
Yeah. So there's that. And it's a really bad look for America. And it is the one thing I'm a little bit surprised at, because mostly, honestly, I'll toot my own horn. I think I've been predicting things pretty well. But one thing I'm kind of surprised at is the level of anger being shown towards Israel by the woke people. I'm very disappointed and disgusted with the Republicans. That you have hardly anybody, and nobody in the Republican establishment.
Well, it's because of the, you could say, the dual nature of Jewish power, the duality. You know, it's twofold. You know, on one hand, I mean, you got the, the woke liberal left. They're all about, they're anti-white hatred, and we want to, open borders and mass, third world migration to replace white people and destroying all the institutions and allowing, homos and LGBT crap and, trannies and all this. And it's like you got on that side. And the reason why they're opposing Israel is because, it's for the wrong reasons, is because they're anti-white. It's because they view Israel as another white ethnostate. That's why. It's not because they truly understand Jewish power, which, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we should just basically regard it as no use. I mean, any form of or criticism of any aspect of Jewish power is a good thing. But they're doing it for the wrong reasons, and I don't think they – I mean, they obviously don't fully understand Jewish power like we do, but it's because they see Israel as this white apartheid ethnostate that's cleansing brown people. But then on the other hand, you got the Republic cucks, all these conservatives who claim that they're against mass migration, and, you know, they're all for, you know, pro-family and pro, you know, pro-Christianity, pro-tradition, even though they never do anything about it. And yeah, I mean they support Israel wholeheartedly because they're God's chosen people. It says it in the Scofield Bible. And yeah. Also because they also view it the same way too, just the inverse of how the left views it, which is that they don't like brown Muslims. They don't like brown people, so they view Israel as as kind of a bulwark against them, even though they don't realize Israel is the cause of mass migration, of all the tensions in the Middle East and the West, and Israel's the root cause.
What was it? He was the name P.F. Barnum. There's Barnum and Bailey Circus. Barnum, it was famous for saying nobody ever lost money by underestimating the stupidity of the American people. He said something like that. By overestimating, whatever. Basically, he was saying Americans. I can't remember the exact quote. And it's sad. Did you catch any of the Republican debate this week?
Oh hell no! I don't watch that. I can't sit through and torture myself like some people can. So.
Well, I mean, I only got through maybe one third of it. There were some funny moments when Vivek challenged Nikki Haley to name the regions of Ukraine that she wanted to protect or defend. But of course, it's not defending. She's trying to help Ukraine wipe out the people there. She's trying to help them ethnically cleanse these regions, conquer these regions. But at any rate, then Nikki Haley just had this silly look on her face because she couldn't name them. A few minutes later, she did name them, but by that time it was too late. All the memes were made. And he said Chris Christie should just get off the stage and go enjoy a meal. it's kind of funny. He was honestly getting really obnoxious. It was kind of funny. And then later on, afterwards, he retweeted something from who's that guy in Ireland who's been getting a lot of traction? There's some like white nationalist type of person in Ireland who's getting a lot of traction on Twitter, and that guy was tweeting a reaction by maybe it was a fist pump or something by Nick Fuentes when Vivek said something about white replacement. You know, the great replacement's not a conspiracy theory. It's democratic policy. And so there is a little gif or something of Nick Fuentes reacting to that. And Vivek retweeted that. So I assume maybe he should know who Nick Fuentes is. So that's kind of interesting. So there were some highlights, but then of course, it always comes around to, look, I actually support Israel the most, right? Everybody, even Vivek said, no, I'm actually the most pro-Israel. And then what else do they argue about? Well, who's the most anti-Chinese? And so it is really disgusting.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balance protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
That's going to be interesting. So there were some highlights, but then, of course, it always comes around to, look, I actually support Israel the most, right? Everybody, even Vivek said, no, I'm actually the most pro-Israel. And then they, what else do they argue about? Well, who's the most anti-Chinese? And so it is really disgusting.
To me, that's the most dangerous, biggest threat pretty much to this planet, and to me personally, as someone who is pro-Israel and anti-China. That's, to me, that there's no more more threatening person than that. Now, you know, whether he'll actually get what he wants, you know, I don't think so, but it's just, you know, that kind of person is dangerous. Someone who's pro-Israel and anti-China. Dangerous, you know, to this globe.
It is. Now, so that brings me to the other thing I wanted to raise, and there are reports that, and I should find the. Oh, I can find the report. It's in. I'm going to read it from RT. It was in RT. So let me go to the appropriate RT section. Where is that? And RT. There is an article speculating that Donald Trump might choose Tucker Carlson as his running mate. So this is from RT. Tucker Carlson comments on running as Trump's vice president. The former Fox News host suggested that he would need a directive from God to become the ex-president's running mate. But scrolling down, Carlson, who has attracted millions of viewers to his channel on Twitter since being fired from Fox in April, made his comments on Thursday night in response to a media report that he was the potential VP candidate favored by former First Lady and Patrick Slattery squeeze, Melania Trump. Melania Trump. Asked about the report after she gave a speech at an event in Washington, after he gave a speech at an event in Washington, Carlson said, God would have to yell very loud at me. Okay, so there's that. But then you scroll down more, and so she thinks Carlson, she meaning Melania, thinks Carlson would make a powerful onstage extension of her husband, the outlet said, citing an unidentified person close to Trump. Other potential Trump VP candidates include Senator J.D. Vance, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, if you remember her, South Carolina Governor Kristi Noem. I don't know if you know who she is. Representative Byron Dan Donald. I think he's a black guy from Florida. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, I had a good name for her. What was her name? I can't remember. And Arizona Senate candidate Carrie Lake. So, you know, we could dissect these. There's a couple of people I think also who are. I don't know if they're in the running, but I think they're trying. Vivek, I think he's not running for president. I think he's running for Trump's running mate. And I think Tulsi Gabbard, when Tulsi Gabbard came out and said these disgusting things in support of Israel, I was really disgusted, and I played the Engelbert Poindexter song about Tulsi Gabbard, you know, wanting to kill the sand Negroes. We got to bomb the sand Negroes. But, you know, then I thought, I think what she's doing is trying to run as Trump's VP, and that's a prerequisite, unfortunately. But you look at these. So J.D. Vance, and anybody in the Republican establishment is going to be pro-Israel, with the possible exception of Trump. But
you look at what Trump did, though. He's done more for Israel internally, short of, you know, going to war for them than other presidents.
Yeah, but the caveat there is short of going to war for them, whereas all the other presidents in recent history have gone to war for them.
Mm-hmm. But and nonetheless, you look at what Trump has done for Israel. I mean, he's an Israel firster, no doubt.
Well, I think what Trump did was he was trying to do divide and conquer. I don't think his strategy was particularly successful. I think he was trying to divide the Jews. And he was going after the press, the fake news, which is Jewish, and he was going after immigration. And, you know, he had a certain amount of success, one could argue. But in order to go after those two important parts of Jewish power and Jewish priorities, he made a lot of common cause with Wall Street, which tends to be rather Jewish. And then he made a lot of symbolic presence to Israel, such as recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and recognizing Israeli law.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauti Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome to my fourth annual Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers: Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vafangulo, Joaquin Egobian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hinane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 pre-Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/ticket/ to get it now.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Symbolic presence to Israel, such as recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and recognizing Israeli law in the Golan Heights. And the thing is, both of those two, which are two things that's just American recognition. It didn't change any facts on the ground. And both of those are very, very precarious right now, because I think when China and Russia convene an international peace conference and impose a resolution that is going to be 242, I expect Israel to lose control of the Golan Heights, and I expect Jerusalem to be once again divided, with East Jerusalem being the capital of a internationally recognized Palestinian state. That would leave West Jerusalem, that could be the capital of Israel. But that's kind of what I expect. But anyway, just those names on there. Are you familiar with J.D. Vance?
Yeah, I know who he is. He's one of these other fakes from Ohio or something. I know during when Ohio had their crisis, you know, the East Palestine, you know, Ohio's Palestine, he didn't do a very good job.
handling it.
Yeah, he's a senator, and he's also like really hostile to China. He's one of these people that blames all the problems caused by the Jews on China. I don't know about Huckabee Sanders, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is Mike Huckabee's daughter, who used to be governor of Arkansas. Now she's governor of Arkansas, and she's very dumpy, and she was Trump's second press secretary. The first one was some fat guy who left after about 6 months. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was for 2.5 or 3 years, for the longest period of Trump's presidency, she was the spokeswoman. I thought she was one of the few people who was tolerable in the Trump administration. She did a reasonably good job as press secretary. But, you know, I doubt she'd be any good. Do you know Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor?
Yeah, well, I knew during COVID she refused to do the lockdowns and the mask mandate. That's about it.
Yeah, so she was good like that. And she's photogenic. I guess she's well into her 40s now, but she's not fat and can still look pretty, right? So I guess that counts for something. I don't think she's super bright, but I don't have that much of a feel for her. Like I said, I think Byron Donalds, is his qualification is he's black. Marjorie Taylor Greene, oh my God. I had a good earlier tonight I thought of a good nickname for her. Nick it calls her Large Marge. What was I calling her? I mean, she's dumb. She is really dumb. And then Carrie Lake, I don't know. I mean, Carrie Lake probably had the Arizona governor race robbed from her. And so she's kind of a darling of the gay way pundit. They love her because of that. But I don't – before that, she was just a newscaster. And I guess she probably speaks well and does the banter well and maybe has good comebacks or something. But I don't know it. I don't really know much about these people. But, you know, Tucker, my big problem with Tucker is he's so anti-China. But all of these people, I would imagine, would be of the same ilk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all anti-China, at the very least, and pro-Israel. Tucker, not as pro-Israel, but anti-China. That's why I'm not going to vote for any of them that, you know, are going to, you know, pretty much threaten my people, even though my people are way stronger than them. But it's like I'm not going to. Here's the problem with the Republican presidency in 2024. And this, by the way, this is no endorsement of the Democrats. Not at all. Quite the opposite. But the problem is you look at the trust in the federal government and you look at just the public opinion. It's at an all-time low right now. And you look at the U.S. military and their recruitment, it's at an all-time low. And, you know, I think these are, even though we got a long way to go, I think these are positives that, you know, people don't trust what's going on now in Washington and the high places of power. And I think it's a positive that the U.S. military is very weak now. And you know, they can't get, you know, strong, you know, southern white men to go fight their Israeli wars, their Jewish wars, and globalist wars. The problem is if a Republican does get back into power, well, you're going to see the military recruitment suddenly go back up. You're going to suddenly see, you know, southern white boys sign up to go join the military again and go fight for Israel and fight for, you know, global interests. I mean, Jewish interests. So, you know, that's the problem with the Republican presidency. People are just going to, you know, go right back to believing the system again.
They're going to think that America is being made great again. And my whole agenda is just, what do I call it? NAMSA, which is Make America Not Suck Anymore. That's where I'm at.
Well, in my opinion, I think the United States of America politically needs to politically. Needs to, as not physically, I mean politically, needs to just cease to exist in order for, you know, the greater good of this planet, for world peace. I mean, you look at what America has done, you know, just really the past over a century, and how much of a force of instability and corrosion it's been for this planet, including its very own people. So the sooner this thing falls apart, the better. And, you know, right now with the what we got now, it's, you know, going to fall apart a lot easier than you know, let's say if Trump were to get back in. Yeah, that would then people's, you know, hopes would get up again, and then we start the whole thing over again, and it'd just be back to the same thing. So,
yeah, I mean, I will probably root for and or vote for Trump when it happens, probably. I think he's probably the least dangerous. And you never know. It's possible that he learned some lessons after having been completely screwed by the Jews. I think that's fair to say. I think that's a good political science term. And maybe he's I don't know. I haven't paid that much attention to him over the past couple months, so I'm not exactly sure what he's saying about what's going on in Israel and Gaza. I have the feeling that he's trying to sound pro-Israel, but he has a way of being very, very vague. And he'll say things like, this would have never happened. It would never happened if I was president. This would have never happened, which begs the question, well, why wouldn't it have happened? Now, at this Republican debate, Chris Christie came out and said, and I think this is interesting. He said that he would invade Gaza. He would invade Gaza and free the Americans, because he's calling. Well, you know, 1 in 10 Israelis has U.S. passport.
AKA and by the way, dual citizens. Yeah.
Yeah.
1 in 10 has an American passport. And out of the settlers, these violent settlers, illegal, violent immigrant settlers to the in the West Bank. 3 in 10, 30% have American passports, which is, it's pretty wild. Now, if the United States government is going to start claiming that this was an attack on America because some of these Jews have American passports, then it's fair for the rest of the world to look at what's going on, whatever Israel does, as an attack on them by America, right? I mean, it's the same thing. These people in the IDF, at least 1 in 10 of them, are American citizens. So you got all these American citizens who are inflicting war crimes on Palestinians or dropping bombs on Syria. So, you know, it's not that far-fetched to say that if you're going to claim that these hostages are Americans, and therefore the United States should do such and such, then it becomes perfectly fair for Hamas or Iran or anybody else to claim that any action done against them by Israel is done against them by the United States. Do you agree? Do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they want to make that claim that this is an attack on our own people, then yeah, I mean it's only fair.
Then our own people are attacking them, because the direction of attack, the direction of violence and brutality, goes much more from Israel towards its enemies than from Israel's enemies towards it.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I want to recommend an article for the audience. I stumbled across this article just today, actually. It's on the UNS Review. It's called The Paradox of MAGA Support for World War III, and it's by a guy. His name is Neil Kumar. Now, interesting thing about this guy. I looked this guy up.
Is he Indian?
He's half Indian. His dad is – his father's Indian, but and his mother's white, which I know from face value, that's like, what the hell? But the thing is, this guy's actually a Southern nationalist, and he does a lot of work with, down in the South, there's like a secession movement, They want to break away from the United States, which, you know, would actually be better for not only the South, but for the whole world. You know, seeing the American empire fall apart, I think that's a good thing. You know, like I said earlier, America needs to politically come to an end so that the whole world can breathe. But, yeah, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's from Arkansas. That's where his mother is a white Southerner from Arkansas. And I mean, from what I read before, I think his dad is like, you know, no surprise, some kind of gas station owner. Maybe not. I don't know. It's been a while since I've read up about him. But he's written some. He's a very proud Southern nationalist, despite being half Indian. And he's, you know, been involved with I think he's been involved with the League of the South. That's another one of those secessionist separatist groups. And others, but he wrote this good article called The Paradox of MAGA Support for World War III. And let me just read a couple paragraphs. So basically he starts out, he said, "The ongoing Israeli genocide of Palestinians, both Christian and Muslim, in Gaza has exposed a curious paradox. While conservative Republican voters claim to oppose the leftist ruling class as embodied in the D.C. political establishment, the entertainment, news media, academia, and etc., they claim to oppose that, they nevertheless are in complete and total alignment with the biggest ticket item of the Jewish agenda, global war with Russian, Iran, and China." Mm-hmm. And let me see here. So he basically goes on and talks about, you know, the Make America Great Again movement is really a Make Israel Great Again movement. And then let me see here. I'm just trying to read some. Oh yeah, and then he cites this article. There's actually an article in the Jerusalem Post and talks about all these these cowboys, these Christian cowboys from the South and from the West going to Israel and helping Israel build their wall and then construct stuff against Palestinians and all that. And then he just talks about how the, let me see here. I'm trying to see. It's a long article and, oh, here we go. So this is what he says here. He says, he said, "I'm a Christian and thus it pains me to say this, but it must nevertheless be said. Self-professed Christians are dragging us to hell with them, all to hell." And he said, "The South is home to most of the few Christian churches that have not fallen to feminism, homosexuality, transgenderism, negrophilia, and other forces which have largely captured American Christianity. And yet these churches, otherwise seemingly bastions of traditional Christianity, are just as corrupt and satanic as those that openly espouse leftism. They have been conquered for many decades now by Christian Zionism, the most consequential heresy in history. I know of many churches in the South firsthand whose Sunday sermons explored the topic of why Christians owe a duty to Israel." And basically he goes on just talking about it's a good article. I would definitely recommend it as a read. But yeah, Neil Kumar, he's from Arkansas is where he's from. That's why he's talking from the Southern perspective.
Well, that's interesting. I don't want to sound like a broken record, and I'm sure people have heard me say this, but it just seems to me that we're going through this massive realignment of the international order, and it's what the people of the United States think, what the government of the United States thinks or does, are becoming less important. I mean, the United States government is still dangerous. It is still capable of provoking a World War III, but I think there has been so much abuse of power, abuse of the population by the, not just by the current government, but I think the current Biden administration, but I think by the Jewish power structure in general. I think they really overplayed their hands. And I think it is going to result in a there's a certain backlash against them. And it's not, it's not the the gun-owning Americans who are going to come out onto the streets and take back their country. If you look domestically, it's the fat, blue-haired girls with piercings and tattoos who are going out and challenging the Jews.
Not necessarily challenging the Jews, challenging Israel.
They don't know that they're challenging the Jews, but they are. And they don't know it because people, the level of understanding of people is really, really low. It's abysmally low all over. So they don't know that they're challenging the Jews, but the Jews know they're challenging the Jews.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
They don't know that they're challenging the Jews, but they are. And they don't know it because people, the level of understanding of people is really, really low. It's abysmally low all over. So they don't know that they're challenging the Jews, but the Jews know they're challenging the Jews. And the Jews are making it into a Jew issue, right? Because they're saying it's anti-Semitism. And this is another topic that was discussed at the debate, Republican debate, which doesn't matter because none of these people are going to get nominated. But, Nikki Haley is saying that she wants to, well, not just Nikki Haley, but in general, that they want to be explicit that if you are anti-Zionist, you are anti-Semitic, that she specifically said universities that don't shut down, she didn't use those words, but don't shut down anti-Israeli demonstrations will not have any government funding. I mean, she's trying to pull out all the stops. You know, she and Chris Christie, they're falling over each other to be, and then DeSantis, who's almost a non-factor now, he's not memorable, they're trying to say, they're falling over each other to be the most obedient to Israel. And then Vivek, he's saying that he's actually the most pro-Israel. And it, you know, when I mentioned this to Dr. Duke on in a phone call that I broadcast on my Friday show, Dr. Duke was saying, well, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to say, well, actually, I'm the best for Israel because I am going to I'm not going to allow their self-destructive behavior, you know, something like that. But that's not exactly what Vivek was saying. But it is interesting, and you are getting members of Congress who are in one way or another calling out Israel, and it will be in next year's election. You are, or not just next year, but like next spring when they have the primary elections, a number of these squad members are being primaried, and it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting how high profile those races become. But we're starting to run out of time. Do you have any final thoughts, Cato?
Well, as this year winds down and comes to an end, it's another hectic year. Brace yourselves for next year, but the good news is we still got a few weeks before we hit that, even more tumultuous year than this year, which is 2024. We still got a couple weeks so we can still mentally prepare ourselves, shall we say.
Okay. Hey, what do you think? So, you know, sometimes I think, well, what if I was in those debates, right? And, you know, they said all their stuff and I said, you know, well, I stand with China. And then what if I faced the camera and I said something in Chinese, but what I actually said in Chinese was just like, you know, ordering a meal at a restaurant. What do you think people would respond to that?
Oh, we already know. I mean, we know how the mainstream media is going to spin that. And I mean, basically that will be the end right there for that person, yeah. Unfortunately.
I don't know. All right. Well, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for letting me on again. Look forward to talking to you next week.
I look forward to it as well. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.